have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host. Your love that lifted me, 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 when I couldn't take it, when I couldn't make it, oh, when I couldn't take it, yes, when I can make it, oh, what love, yes, what peace, yes, what joy. He gives, oh, I was thinking deep in sin, far from the people. Heard my despairing cry from the water. He lifted me.
Hi, this is Apostle Dawn Westbrook. Join me on Shabbat Saturday here at Elation Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we Shabbat the Lord and declare the word of the Lord over your life for this hour. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome, welcome, welcome each and every one. What love, what joy he gives to me. I call you holy. Indeed, he is holy. He is faithful. He is wonderful. He is mighty. He is merciful. He is truth and justice and righteousness, and he is perfection. I love the Lord on today, and I thank the Lord for that intro song. He is indeed El Elyon, hallelujah, the highest sovereign of the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. And we do exalt his name in this room called Shabbat Saturday. We indeed call him holy. Hallelujah. And what love. I love that phrase. What love, what love, what love, what love. My God, that lifted me, that set me free. And the word says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you are free today. And if you're not, you're going to be after the end of this program, because this is Shabbat Saturday. Hallelujah. And we thank the Lord Jesus, because we were created to worship him. Did you know that? Well, the word of God says in Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. Hallelujah. And he created all things, and by his will, they exist and were created. We were created to worship our God, to praise our God, to extol our God. And so we magnify his name in this room. And above his name, there is none other. The word of God says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the power and glory of God the Father. Well, hello there, you in the radio land called Elation Radio, amen, Spreaker Radio, iHeart Radio. We bless the Lord for you joining us on today. This is your host again of Shabbat Saturday. I am Apostle Dawn, also known as P.D. Westbrook, and that's what we do here. Amen. I want to thank you for tuning in on this very, very special Shabbat Saturday with our featured guest, Pastor Kareem. Amen. Malloy, amen. We bless the Lord for the man of God, the king, amen. God's anointed and his voice and oracle to the Muslim community, amen. Converting souls, hallelujah. Those that were of the Muslim faith to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel itself, amen, and them coming forward and asking, what must I do to be saved? You need to check out the man of God. He does have a platform called Eternity and You on YouTube, glory to God, where he is converting souls, hallelujah, from the Muslim faith to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is literally amazing, glory to God, to hear the testimonies that are coming forth. But listen, indeed, there is a great shaking going on in the heavenly realms and in the earth, amen. And we believe that the Spirit of the Lord has given us the authority to speak and say something in this hour. You need to open your mouth, particularly in this new year called 5783. We have been given this legislative authority, amen, and power and the anointing to go forth and declare the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. So I want to certainly encourage you, our audience here, and those on the replay, listen. Today, the Lord has made, hallelujah, has created for you and I, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. By George, you should know this, and you should be doing the same in Jesus' name.
So we glorify the Lord today for his anointed vessel. Pastor Kareem Aloy is here. Man of God, are you connected?
Amen, amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, just wanted to do that audio check. Glory to God. I know that you are going to release a word and inspire the people of God to move in the realm of his glory, Pastor. We thank the Lord for the Spirit of God that is upon you and welcome you again. I want to say, how are you, first and foremost, before we go any further, man of God? How are you doing?
Amen. Thank you, sis. I am doing well. I'm excited, as always. Always excited at the opportunity to talk about God. Amen. Always excited.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know that our meeting was certainly of a divine appointment in no place other than Clubhouse itself, powerful tool being used for ministry by the people of God, and later as your guest speaker in the soul-winning conference, amen, that you conduct every month. I thank the Lord. What an honor it is, man of God, to have you here on the platform. I know that you are one extremely busy man, amen, about doing the Father's business. So tell us about, you know, in a couple of minutes, tell us about who Pastor Kareem Aloy is for those who do not know you, man of God.
Amen. Thank you. November will mark 2 years in ministry for me, 2 years with Eternity in You Ministries. I am excited. I'm telling you, I'm excited because I actually left my job and all of that to actually get into ministry. But who am I? I was on the wrong side of the tracks for the longest time, spent 28 years in prison, found God while I was in prison, or I should say he found me in prison while I was 15 years, and the last 13 years I walked with Christ. He pulled me out of the Islamic faith. He pulled me out of the mess that I was in, and he lit a fire on the inside of me. I thank God that in the 3 years since I've been released, that fire has not went out. So I'm out. I haven't turned my back on God. I'm still serving him. I'm still doing the things that I started doing on the inside. A lot of people get saved in prison. They come out, they go one way, and the Bible go the other way. You know, but me and the Bible, we still in cahoots. We still on the same. We still together. Amen. There's been no divorce right there. So, amen. I'm just serving God to the best of my abilities right now. Preaching on Clubhouse, minister on Clubhouse, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, anywhere I can go to try to get the word out. Amen.
Glory to God. Well, listen, man of God, certainly the hand of God is on your life and has been demonstrated with signs, amen, miracles and wonders. And there is evidence. I know that I follow you, kind of stay in the background and just observe. And I can see certainly the hand of God, just a hand of approval is what I want to say, is certainly on Eternity and you, Pastor Kareem. And so I'm just going to pray real quickly, man of God. And then the next voice you hear, people of God, is going to be none other than Pastor Kareem Aloy coming forth and releasing the word as the Spirit of the Lord under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Father God, now we take a minute just to settle our minds before we go forward. Lord God, let us take a look internally and invite you, the Holy Spirit, to preside over our hearts so that we can be strengthened by the words that we will hear in the next hour and release today, Father God. And we say, Lord God, that we are your royal priests, we are your chosen vessels and your holy citizens. And take the members of our body, Father God, our ears, our tongues, Lord God, and let it be a blessing to your people. The word says, let the mouth, hallelujah, my meditation and my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Savior. So, Father God, bless our thoughts and our words that come forth, Father God. Let them transform our spirit in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we bless the Lord for you, Pastor Kareem. You are released, man of God. The Spirit of God use you now for his people. I will yield. The mic is yours in Jesus' name.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, sis. Amen. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Amen. Let me just come right behind you, too. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that I, Lord God, am being used right now for your service. I thank you, Lord God, that the word will go forth, that it will settle on the hearts of all those that hear it, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that this word will move everyone, Lord God, to be a better follower of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. So, Lord God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. I thank you that the Holy Spirit will do what he does. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to start straight out with a scripture. Amen. Start straight out with a scripture. This is Isaiah chapter 48. Verse 3, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 3. It says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. I have declared the former things from the beginning. In other words, God is saying there's a whole lot of things that have happened in history, but before those things has ever happened, I told you that they would happen so that when they do happen, you'll know that it's me. You'll know that I am the one that declared those things. That's the proof in the pudding that I am who I say I am, that I am God, that I'm in control, that I'm sovereign over all of my creation. Amen. So he determines the thing from the very beginning. It says, I have declared. In other words, I made it known. It's not that God knew what's going to happen. He knew and he shared with us. He's letting us know why, because God is trying to build faith in his people. So he's allowing us to know things to come. He already spoke it into existence. His word is never going to return to him void. So he spoke those things out, the things that will happen, and they always happen the way that he said it would happen, so that when it does happen, you will know that he is who he say he is, that he alone is God Almighty, and that there is none like him. So it says, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. One word stands out for me, and that's what I want to talk about real quick, is suddenly. I did them suddenly. Over and over and over in scriptures, we'll read that word suddenly. Sometimes you might see, but suddenly. But suddenly is a specific moment in time. When you're not getting a warning, you're not going to get a heads up. Suddenly happens before it even registers to your mind. Suddenly happens, and the next thing you know, that the thing is past tense. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I would even go as far as to say, every time suddenly is used in the scriptures, oh, my goodness, it's nothing more than a type and a shadow and a prelude, specific moment in time that is going to affect every single person on this earth. Because there's a lot of suddenlies in scripture, but every suddenly wasn't for everybody. Sometimes a certain suddenly is for a certain person, or maybe a certain nation. Jesus Christ himself was to come at a kairos moment, at a particular time. But the words say that suddenly he will come to his people. Suddenly he will come to his temple. But we know that his coming it didn't register to the mind of a lot of those people that were supposedly looking for the Christ. He came to his own, and his own received him not. That's how the word put it. Here it is, the Pharisees, these so-called great men of God, they were learned. They studied the scriptures. They knew the scriptures. They were in anticipation of the Christ. But the same ones that were so-called the people of God and were expecting the man of God failed to see the man of God when he came. Suddenly Christ appeared amongst them. Suddenly he went into the temple and read from Isaiah about how the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf. Amen. Suddenly he appeared. Suddenly. The thing about suddenly again is that suddenly doesn't really give you a warning. Oh, my goodness. What I want to speak about with the suddenly is this certain suddenly. It's a certain day. It's a certain moment in time that God has reserved for his own knowing. I, the Father alone, know this specific moment that's going to happen. He said there's a moment that's coming. It's going to happen suddenly. And it's going to catch the world by surprise. But because God is a God that determines a thing from the beginning, and he warns his people, he tells them beforehand what's going to happen so that they don't get caught unaware. He tells them, I am coming like a thief in the night. And he tells us that so that we might be aware, so that we might be awake and looking for the coming of the Son of Man, that we not be like the Pharisees that were looking but didn't even see him when he came. No, the words say, except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you would in no wise enter in the kingdom of heaven. We have to be in expectation of that certain suddenly. Oh, my goodness. I should go here. Let me go here. I want to read something for you. Let me go to 1 Thessalonians for you. Let me just read. Let me real quick. Give me a second. 1 Thessalonians. Let me just read to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read to you. One thing real quick. Let me come on down here to like 16, 15. Amen. I'm gonna read from verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hold on, I'm going to the next chapter. I need you to hear this. But chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, oh my goodness, we are talking about the rapture, but we're also talking about the day of the Lord, one event, one day, all happening at the same time. One suddenly that's going to affect every single person. It's going to affect the wicked, and it's going to affect the righteous, all at the same time. It's going to affect the poor. It's going to affect the rich of the earth. It's going to affect the kings and the servants, all at the same time. Those that are in light and those that are in darkness. This one day will take everybody by surprise. Glory to God. It say, but at the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Verse 2. But yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It is coming as a thief in the night. It is coming as a thief in the night. A thief do not give you warning when he comes. He tries his best to catch you while you're asleep. Or he'll try the best to catch you while you're not at home. Why? Because he wants to come in undetected. He wants to be able to get what he needs to get and get out before he was ever recognized. And you don't realize the thief was there until you wake up in the morning and you realize that something is missing. This is what Christ is talking about. He said there's a day that's coming where I am coming like a thief in the night. And I'm coming to do my own stealing on this day. I'm going to take up my people. Oh, my goodness. It's going to happen so quick that it won't register to everybody until after it happened. What happened? Oh, my goodness. Only after the fact. For 2,000 years, we have been looking forward to the rapture. For 2,000 years, we have been talking about the rapture. But there's a day coming where the rapture will become past tense. With anybody that talk about the rapture, they're going to be looking back at it. They're going to be talking about what happened as opposed to what will happen. I said one day, the rapture will become past tense. And there's going to be a whole lot of people weeping and wailing and crying. There's going to be a whole lot of people that realize that God was serious about what he said. I say that because there's a lot of Christians right now, a lot of believers. A lot of believers that believe in Jesus, and they claim they love Jesus, but they're not ready. They're not ready because they're not looking. They're not looking because they have been enticed in this world. Oh, my goodness. They have been seduced in this world. The Bible tells of us that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And yet, we still come to this world and fall in love with the world. But when God delivered us, a part of that deliverance was he delivered us out of the love that we have for this world, the cravings, the desires that we have for sin, the cravings, the desires that we have to do things that's not of God. When God rescued us, when he saved us, when he delivered us, he changed our desires. But there's a work for us to do. And a lot of us have failed to keep our eyes on Jesus because we can't help but be enticed by what everybody else is doing in the world. God called us to be separate, but we don't want to separate because we feel like we have missed out. But the word says suddenly Christ is going to come in a moment when you least expect. He's going to come like a thief in the night, and he does not want his people to be caught unaware. There's a story about 10 virgins, and all of them slept, and all of them were waiting for the same bridegroom, a picture of the church, and half of the church was not ready when that call went out. Half of them was not ready. In the middle of the night, just like when the thief comes, suddenly the cry went out, the bridegroom cometh. And those that were wise, they trimmed their lamps and was going out to meet the bridegroom. But those that were foolish failed to have oil in their lamps. Oh, my goodness. They thought they still had tomorrow to get themselves together. They thought that surely I'll have time to repent and get myself right if there's anything in my life that's not right in the eyes of God. But the words say that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. You cannot make a fool of God. God has already determined a time when everything is going to end. But he determined a time, oh my goodness, where a day will come that will be more disastrous than any day that has ever been since time began. When the day come, the word say that they'll be drinking, they'll be eating, they'll be marrying, they'll be doing all the things that they've been doing. They'll be running after the world. But they're supposed to be a people whose heart is focused on God. They're supposed to be a people whose eyes is on the King of Kings. But a lot of us have become like those five foolish virgins. We have become like renegade ambassadors. Oh, my goodness. A renegade is a traitor. A renegade is someone that was on one team, but they abandoned that team to go to the other team. They're turncoat. They're turncoat. They left. Did you realize the words say that we are citizens of heaven? But yet these renegades, Christians I'm talking about, that's supposed to represent heaven, are no longer representing heaven because they're chasing after the world. They'll still talk about Jesus. They'll still say that they love Jesus. They'll still mention Jesus. But they're not ready for his sudden return. Because there's a lot of stuff that they're doing that they know is not right. They're living a lukewarm life, and they're not repentant of it. A repentant person, that not only does he confess his sin, but he turns from that thing that displeases God. But a renegade. A renegade is a person that deserts and betrays his own country. How do you betray the King of Kings? How do you betray him after all that he did for us? Laid his own life down. Shed his own blood at the cross. Took on spitting in the face. He took on the mockery. He took on the ridicule. He took it all on, all the beatings. Being stripped out of his clothes, he took that on for us. And a lot of us Christians that talk bad about Judas Iscariot, we act just like him. Because Judas Iscariot was a traitor. And there's a lot of Christians that are renegades with traitors. How do one become a traitor? It's when we abandon our position. When we abandon our purpose. When God called us, he called us with purpose in mind. God never calls you for nothing. God calls you with purpose in mind. So God saved you. When he saved you, he positioned you in the kingdom. The words say that when Christ was raised, we was raised with him and was made to be seated in heavenly places with him. We were positioned in Christ. Where he got the victory. Christ got the victory already. So if we are positioned in Christ, that means before we ever receive our purpose, we have already received the victory. We already have been determined that we will win at what God purposed us to do. Why? Because we are abiding in Christ, the victor. We are sharing in his victory. But we cannot get the victory apart from Christ. It's only in Christ. So it's only by dwelling in Christ do we get the victory. But if we were ever to turn our back on Christ and turn back to the world that we were delivered out of, remember there is a God of this world. The Bible says that Satan is the God of this world. And he has dominion over all the people of this world. They're all under the curse. They're all misguided. They're all deceived. They're all suffering from the sin of Adam, not knowing that their sin have already been paid for, that Christ have already taken on their sin. But they got to snap out of the deception. They have to be able to receive him as Son of God, the one that laid his life down, buried in a rich man's tomb, arose on the third day, and now is highly exalted with God the Father. We have become renegades. Many of us, we're still walking around with the title of Christians, but we have abandoned our post. Soldiers in the army of the Lord that have abandoned their post. Because they felt that what the world is offering is more fulfilling than what Christ is offering. The things that God is offering is eternal, but you have to endure for a little while on this earth to receive them. No. In this earth right here, we're going to have some trials. In this world, there's going to be some persecutions. There's going to be some hard times. And because we don't want to experience the hard times, we'll say the Christian walk is too much. I don't mind continuing to talk about Christ, but I got to live like I've been living. I got to live in a way that brings pleasure, but this pleasure that you're searching for and that you're seeking after is temporary, and it leads to destruction. Oh, my goodness, come out of her, my people, that you receive not of her plagues. Come out of her, my people, that you receive not of her plagues. God is calling out. He's calling out to all that will listen. And he's trying to usher them into the ark of safety before it's too late. Because he knows that there's a certain day that's coming that's going to catch the world by surprise. This day talks about when the most bravest of men will act like women. And when they say that they'll act like women, they're speaking about women that's given birth, women that's in that fetal position, crying out in pain at the delivery. They're talking about men, brave men, soldiers that are filled with fear because of this day. Because the word says that this day is darkness and not light. But that darkness is for all of those that's under the cloud. Yes, the word say that Jesus is coming on a cloud. And darkness is under his feet. But we will not be under his feet because we are his body. We even make up the feet of Christ. So in other words, we are on top of the cloud. Oh, my goodness. Like lightning from east to west, like lightning. That's suddenly. Lightning never gives a warning when it comes. It happens so fast. It barely registers. First Corinthians says it like this. It says in a moment. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh, that's how it says it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's fast right there. That's fast right there. Think about how fast the twinkle in the eye is. Think about how fast you blink. A twinkle is way faster than a blink. Someone tried to measure a twinkle. And they say, oh, well, God is talking about a nanosecond. I beg to differ. I think a nanosecond gives you time that you ain't got. When God said suddenly, you don't got time. When God said suddenly, that means you better be ready at that time. You don't have time to get it right then. So God is warning you and telling you to get it right now as the people of God, as children of God. The Spirit of God is always beckoning to us to come over on the side of holiness. Stand over here on the side of righteousness. Don't partake of the sins of mankind. Don't indulge in the vanities or the dainties of this world because it leads to destruction. God is calling out for people that separated. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Listen to the process. There's a process right here that a lot of people don't catch. That's a process that's happening. The process is that this incorruptible is going to take on incorruption within that twinkle of an eye. Within the process, that incorruptible, the corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Oh, my goodness. Like this. He said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. I might not know how he's going to appear, but I know that when he appears, we are going to be just like him. Glory to God. If you need a glimpse into that, think about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, how he transfigured right before his disciples. And immediately they wanted to build tabernacles for him. Tabernacles for Moses. Tabernacles for Elijah, who they saw talking with him. Why? Because of the splendor of his glory. How they was in awe of that splendor. The day is coming where we are going to see Jesus face to face. Where it's no longer going to be words on paper. It's no longer going to be a thought in our imagination, a glimpse in our heart. But we're going to see him. We're going to see him face to face. But are you ready? Because the only way we get a chance to see him face to face is we have to be like those five wise virgins. We have to put off sin. And we have to really follow after Christ, because when he comes, he's coming suddenly. That means if you're in your mess, that's where you'll be left at, in your mess. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And the words say that the bride made herself ready. She did her part to stay clean. Are you doing your part to stay clean? Because when the bridegroom comes, he's coming for something that looks like him, pure and holy and without sin. Glory to God. So we have twisted the word of God because of this deception in our own mind, because we have been deceived to believe that this instant gratification is better than what God is promising us yet to come. No pleasure that we are able to receive now can compare to the pleasure that is in store for us when we get there in his presence. None. Sex don't compare. So there's no reason for you to be having sex outside of marriage, because the sexual pleasure that you get now from sex does not compare to the glory and the pleasure that you'll receive once you get there. Drugs don't compare. Alcohol don't compare. Getting the fast money do not compare. Nothing compares. So you should not be willing to sacrifice the pleasures to come for these temporary pleasures now that put you at odds with God. We say that we follow Christ, but the renegade ambassadors, they don't, because they're renegades. They betray Christ, just like Judas. They're deserters. They're defectors. They're not real. You know, the term turncoat, they say a turncoat got its name because in war times, when certain army men were outnumbered and the other army was closing in on them, because they did not want to be killed or captured, they'll take their coats off and turn it inside out. Outside, on the right side, their coat display their badges and their medals, their allegiance. But they'll take those coats and they'll turn them inside out. And they'll say, I don't want to look like that in front of them, because I don't want to suffer what's to come from them. So Christians, a lot of us do the same thing. Even though the word calls us ambassadors for Christ, we'll get around other people, people of this world that's living a certain kind of way, and we'll try to live like them because we don't want them to judge us. And because we want to have the same fun that they're having, to have the same pleasures that they're having. I think there's a word in this popular vernacular called FOMO, fear of missing out. Christians having a fear of missing out. And because of that fear, they compromise in their faith. And they'll join the other team. As ambassadors, we are sent here on a mission. Our mission is to declare the glory of heaven. Our mission is to point the world to Jesus Christ, to tell them about a kingdom that's much better than the kingdom of this world. This world is dying. This world is temporary. But the world to come that we preach about is eternal. There is no sickness there. There is no disease there. Hallelujah. But we don't want to preach that message. We don't want to preach that. And we got 1,000 different reasons why we don't preach it. But we don't want to preach that message. But yet we say we follow after Christ. We claim that we're doing what Christ did, but we don't really do what Christ do. We're actually doing all the opposite. Do you realize Christ, when he was here, Christ had a constant dependence on the Holy Ghost. There was constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He had a working relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why? He was dependent on the Holy Spirit, first of all, to keep him from sin and to do the works that God had for him. When you can say he's God, how can the Spirit keep him from sin if he's God? Yes, he is God. And he was fully God, but yet he was fully man. And when he lived amongst us, he decided to operate in his manhood and not in his godhood. So every supernatural thing he did in the flesh, he did through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not in and of his own power, not just because he was God. When he prophesied, he did it through the power of the Holy Ghost. When he talked to the woman at the well and he told her all that she ever did, he did it through the power of the Holy Ghost. When he healed all those that were afflicted of sickness and disease and cast out demons, he did it through the power of the Holy Ghost. So there had to be a relationship between him and the Holy Spirit. But in the church today, a lot of us are no longer concerned about the Holy Ghost. Oh, my goodness. The word tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The word tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit. But we don't even give the Holy Spirit a chance to operate in our life. When the Holy Spirit beckons us to pray, we ignore it. When the Holy Spirit beckons us to fast, we stuff our face. When the Holy Spirit beckons us to pray for somebody else, we ignore it. We ignore it. When the Holy Spirit beckons us to read our word, we'll say, I ain't got time. I'm too tired for that. But Jesus had a working relationship with the Holy Spirit. So if you are Christian, follower of Christ, then we are to take our pattern after his. Our life is meant to be lived the way he lived his life. And if he lived his life in partnership with the Holy Ghost, then we are supposed to live the same exact way. We're supposed to partner with the Holy Spirit. We got to partner with him. If you don't partner with the Holy Spirit, you'll never hear God talk. Because when God talks, he speaks through his Holy Spirit. That still small voice. Glory to God. A lot of people want to wonder why they don't hear from God. You don't hear from God because you don't honor the Holy Spirit of God. You start to honor the Holy Ghost, and you will start to hear from the Father. He desires to talk to you. That's his desire. He desires it more than you desire it. A lot of us say, I desire to hear from God, but I don't. And we think we got a desire that God don't have. You have that desire because God placed that desire on the inside of you. God desires to communicate with his children. You're his son. You're his daughter. He wants to communicate. He's the initiator, not you. The word said, while you were yet sinners, Christ died. He initiated salvation, not you. You didn't decide to get yourself right before God. He did the work. He's the one that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's the one that drew you to the Son. He did it. Amen. If we're going to be like Christ, to be like Christ is to have a great prayer life. How great was Christ's prayer life? Christ's prayer life was so great that he was willing to lose sleep over it. Are you willing to get up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to pray? Yeah. See, that's a time when there ain't nobody watching you. Are you willing to do something when nobody else is watching? There's a lot of us that are willing to pray when we got a fan base. I'm talking about believers, y'all. That's willing to pray when we got 10 and 20 people watching, 10 and 20 people listening. But when we get by ourselves, all of a sudden, prayer is difficult. All of a sudden, prayer is a problem. Oh, my goodness. Are you willing to lose sleep just to spend time and fellowship with the Father to pray? Are you willing to draw back from things that you could do throughout the day just to pray? Because the word says men ought always to pray and not faint. Another place said men shall pray without ceasing. Amen. When it speaks about the prayers of the righteous availeth much, it's speaking about those that have a habit of prayer. It's not your prayers do not avail much if you only pray once in a blue moon. There's no relationship there. There's no relationship there. You got to build a rapport with God. You got to work on the relationship. You got to let God know that that you're serious about him. And then he responds to your prayer. That's when your prayer becomes fervent. That's when your prayers begin to avail much once you make a habit out of it. But if you never make a habit out of prayer, your prayer will never begin to avail much. You'll have the same dullish prayers that gets no answers. Wondering why God never answers your prayers is because you never made a habit out of talking to him. You say we're going to be like Christ. Being like Christ means that we got to take on some religious enemies. Oh, my goodness. See, when we think about enemies, we're thinking about everybody else but those inside the faith. But when Christ was walking this earth, all of his enemies were those of his own flesh. His enemies were the same ones he came to save. His enemies was in, quote and unquote, church folks. Yeah. Yeah. Men of the synagogue. Men that were learned in the scriptures. They knew God. They knew the names of God. They knew his reputation. They can preach about him. They can talk about him. But yet they had a problem with the Son of God when he came. Why is that, Kareem? Because when you really start living for God, when you really start allowing Jesus to live through you, you're going to rub some people the wrong way. Listen, you will even have some church folks telling you, brother, you ain't got to do all of that to be saved. Brother, you ain't got to pray that long. Brother, you ain't got to read the word that much. God understands if you go out here and dibble and dabble a little bit. You got to understand that you're in this world. You're not in heaven yet. They're going to tell you all of that. Why? Because they are offended at your way of life. They are offended because you are sold out for Christ. And they'll do their best to sway you from that lifestyle because that lifestyle convicts them. Because they know that's the lifestyle that they're supposed to be living. We all are supposed to be sold out for Christ. But yet there are those that are living a lukewarm life and they don't want to see anybody on fire. If you be on fire, don't get too close. Let me see you from a distance. If you on fire, I tell you what, let me see you on TV. Just don't get too close. Don't get too close. Don't expose this lukewarmness that I have. Because I'm content with my lifestyle right now. But we're talking about being a true follower of Christ. And I say that why? Because we know that Christ is coming, and he's coming suddenly. I'm telling you, there'll be no time to repent. There'll be no time to get right once he comes. This right now is the time of grace. And this time of grace is the time for the church to repent and get right. So that when he comes, we are already ready. Hallelujah. But we got to be willing to do some things to follow Christ. In order for us to follow Christ, we got to be willing to make ourselves of no reputation. Oh, that sounds crazy to the world today. Because many in the church are looking for a reputation. They're out there trying to brand themselves like the world is doing. The world is teaching everybody to brand themselves. You are the brand. That's the motto for everybody. And now you have many that are getting in ministry. They have that same mindset that the world has. They have the mindset that I am the brand. So they're putting these ministry names everywhere. And they make the ministry all about them as opposed to being all about Christ. And no longer are they leading people to Christ, but they're leading people to themselves. ego, pride, arrogancy, characteristics of the devil that was cast out of heaven, being taken on by those calling themselves sons and daughters of God. That's like a smack to God's face. Jesus, being God in the flesh, said he made himself of no reputation. But yet we are out looking for a reputation. If you are looking for a reputation, you're looking other than Christ. You're not looking at him. If you are looking for a reputation, your eyes is on the world and it's not on the Son that is able to save your soul. If you have been looking for a reputation, get right and get ready, because suddenly it's about to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about being followers of Christ. But guess what? Christ, when he was here, Christ wasn't looking for worldly treasures, but he was looking for souls to save. But a lot of us, the church, we're looking for the treasures now. We have lost sight of the souls. We're no longer looking at those that are in need, those that are desperate for Christ. Our minds is on us. All of our mind, our heart is on our agenda. It's on our next business venture, our next business plan, on the cafe we want to open up, on the next book we want to write, on the next song we want to sing, on the next place we want to go, on the next car we want to buy, on the next house we want to live in, on the next state we want to vacation to, on the next person we want to marry, on the next child we want to have. It's on everything but those that are in need. Many in the church have lost their focus and have lost their perspective, but for 2,000 years, God has been warning us. There's a day coming. There is a day that is coming. Hallelujah. There is a day that is coming that's going to catch everybody unaware. There is a day that is coming where Christ himself is going to come like a thief in the night. And if you are not ready, you're going to try your best to get ready, and you're going to come knocking on that door, but the door will be closed. And he said your portion will be with them out there in darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that speaks to the day of the Lord. That speaks to you going through the hardest time ever known on this earth. A day of darkness and not light. The day of the Lord. We're speaking about a day when God speaks about one-third of the world's population disappearing, killed off. One-third. One-third of the world's population. We're talking about 2 billion people. I don't want no part in that. I want to be ready now. I persuade all of you to be ready now. God has already did his part. The Father has already positioned you. He has already purposed you. And believe it or not, he has already preserved you. He has preserved you so that the enemy can't have his way with you. So some of you have turned and went dabbling back into this worldliness, but you haven't completely fell yet. There's grace. There's grace there because he is preserving you. But you need to do what you need to do while you still have time. You need to repent and come back to God. You need to have your heart, your eyes focused on him in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. So I want to read this last verse, and I'm going to give. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Isaiah 48:3. This is the verse I started with, and it's the verse I'm going to end with. It said, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. The day is coming, and it's coming quickly upon each of us. Something is going to happen suddenly, suddenly, and you're either going to be a part of it or you're not. God is not impressed by anybody's title. God is not impressed by anybody's title. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Obedience is what God is looking for. Why? Because there's a work that he wants done in this earth, and he called us to fulfill that role. Us. We got right now, we got more mockers and scoffers inside the church than outside the church. They say, well, he hasn't come yet. He ain't going to come in my lifetime. The words say suddenly. And I just want y'all to walk away with that one thing in mind, that there's a day coming and a moment in time that is coming where Christ is going to return. Like a flash of lightning from east to west, he's going to scoop up all his people. Nobody else is going to have an opportunity to do anything about it. They don't have time to repent or anything else. So I persuade all of you to get right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your time.
Amen, amen, and amen. My God, today I have declared the former things from the beginning. Glory to God. Isaiah 48:3. You know, man of God, you said so much, and I wanted to just take copious notes as you were going along, just to reiterate and to re-inject, amen, that he is God, and he said he is in control, and that he is sovereign, and he is letting us know what is to come, because he wants his people to not be caught unaware. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. You know, in this suddenly, there will be a people that are truly hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. But as you mentioned, this suddenly is a specific moment in time. Amen. Like before you know it, it's past. And I think that's what the world is going to experience, those who do not have a relationship, amen, and do not hear his voice in the name of Jesus. And like you said, it's not for everybody. I praise God, you know, even so in our different and respective offices, our voices are being raised up to meet and to get the attention of a certain people. But we're all saying the same thing, glory to God, one spirit, one mind, one heart. But his coming, amen, truly will not be recognized by all. And I thought about, oh my God, Noah, glory to God. When the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and told him about the disaster that was coming, and he was speaking the truth, but not everyone heard him. There was a select few that heard him, and they took action respectively, and that was only those within his family. And that just blows my mind about the whole population of the world was destroyed. My God, today, as they continue to see the man to persevere and to go forth and say the same thing, yet they would not take heed. And truly, his coming will not be recognized by all. But as you did refer to the 10 virgins, they all received the same instructions. They all heard the same thing, but not all of them hearkened unto the voice of the Spirit of God, to what he was saying and the warning that he was giving and the preparation, you know, that he told them that would be necessary before his coming. Oh, my God, there is a moment and a time that is going to come upon this land in the name of Jesus. But we praise God for the Holy Spirit, who speaks to those who know him, who he abides in, glory to God, and who has relationship with him in the name of Jesus. I thank God for this word. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night, my God, today. And we must, what? Be ready, not be getting ready, but be ready, like the five virgins that were not enticed, that were not seduced. Oh, God. My heart is, I'm telling you, Pastor, my heart is so heavy. And it was earlier this morning, even before coming on, because it's like the Spirit of the Lord is saying, how many times do I need to say this? You, my people, should take note. If you truly are my followers, and I like what you said, my ambassadors, the priests of the Lord, we should know. We should be hearkening unto his voice, but there is a remnant that is listening and is taking note. But woe unto the foolish who fail to have their oil lamp filled, my God, today, thinking that they have this space and this time to repent. And you're right, man of God. It's like they're just totally ignoring us. You know, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They are indeed, you know, renegades, but I call them the living dead, walking around like zombies, being triggered by the world. Everything the world does, everything the world says, they're like hearkening unto that voice and doing what it wants them to do instead of relying on their first works or the first instructions that they receive, you know, from the beginning. God is calling out to all that will listen. There is indeed a certain day that will catch many unaware. But he is calling for a people that are separated, that are consecrated, whose hearts are yielded, who have said, yes, Lord, my God, today. Thank you, Pastor, you so much. Because surely the day, the scripture says, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I thank the Lord for you coming and being with us on today. I have been stirred, amen, and I bless the Lord for your commitment. Man, God, stand on the wall and setting your face like flint, and you don't care who says what about you. You have a made-up mind as I, and I thank God that we are indeed his watchmen and his ambassadors, amen, willing to make the necessary sacrifices, whatever those sacrifices are, whatever the risks are, because that's what it's coming down to. Amen. Standing in the face of the enemy to our sovereign God. Amen. Because when you really begin to truly live, you will indeed contend with the scoffers and they will be offended. Amen. Those who are living a lukewarm life, they will be offended. Living like the world, they will be offended. But we have made up our minds and have made a decision for Christ. I live. Christ, I die. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
Bless you on today. I want to say King, Pastor, Kareem, my God, good word, excellent word, particularly for this season. Where is our focus? Reset, return to your first works, repent, come back to God in the name of Jesus. Because truly, this is a time to reset, to do a self-examination, a self-evaluation, not of our platforms, not of our titles, not of our entitlements, not of our brands or the book deals or our material things, but be yielded, be surrendered. Let our hearts be yielded and surrendered to Yeshua, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have his heart, have his motivation and his intention. My God, today, the Lord bless you again, Pastor. I bless the Lord for you. Thank you so much. And I would ask now if you, because of what you've released in the atmosphere, Pastor Kareem, would you give the prayer of salvation for those who are lukewarm or those who do not know him so that they may have an opportunity to receive him now as their personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name?
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. For those that do not know Christ, that have not accepted him, and you're thinking about it, but you're thinking about how hard it might be. Let me help you out. I love to say this. You don't have to do no backflips to come into this faith. You don't got to run no marathons to get to know Jesus Christ. You ain't got to swim a mile or 2 miles or anything like that to get saved. He's already done all the work. What he requires of you is belief. If you can confess with your mouth what you already believe in your heart, that God had raised this man, Jesus Christ, from the dead, the word said you shall be saved. The word said to all those that believe in him, gave he power to become sons of God. Belief. Belief. But it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So real belief, real faith coming out of your mouth is what you believe in your heart first. You must believe first and foremost that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is who he said he was. That he died on that cross. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. He was resurrected 3 days later. And now he is highly exalted, ascended to the right hand of the Father. Now he intercedes for us. So right now he's ready, and he's watching, and he's looking at you to see if you will make that confession of faith. Oh, my goodness. If ever there was anyone that was more excited about you accepting Christ right now, it will be Christ. It will be him himself. The words say, in so many words, that there's a party in heaven every time one person is saved. So I say all of that to say this. If you believe in Christ Jesus and you want to accept him as your personal savior right now, it's as simple as confessing it. So you can just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross and you was buried, and that you was raised back to life on the third day. Lord, I believe you are at the right hand of the Father right now, and I believe that you're coming back again. Lord, I ask that you save me. Forgive me, Lord God, for every sin in my life, and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And use me, Lord God, for your glory. And then, Lord God, I pray that you will fill me with your Holy Ghost. Fill me, Lord God, with your Holy Ghost. And, Lord, you promised that he that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I pray right now, Lord God, for those living waters to usher forth out of their belly right now, to flow out, Lord God, in various languages that they don't even know, in Jesus' name. Oh, fill them now, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that they will operate in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, severally as he chooses, in Jesus' name. And to those that have backslid and want to come back, I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Again, it's as simple as confessing. God said that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you will only confess right now, Lord God, I know that I am a sinner and that I have not been living right before you, that I have fell back into some mess. But, Lord, I'm asking for you to forgive me right now and place me back in right standing with you. Cleanse me from filth and guilt in Jesus' name. And Lord God, place a fire on the inside of me that will not go out, that all the rest of the days of my life, I will labor for the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank the Lord for all that has been done here in Shabbat Saturday. We thank the Lord for this word. I think it's a very poignant word. It's certainly a word, a Kairos word. And how it's like the Lord is so strategic. How I've been hearing this echoed, in other platforms, this urgency, this 911, reset, repent, come back. Go back to your first work. I need your heart to be yielded to me. I need all of you or none of you. And this idea that, we cannot compromise. We simply can't. We don't have that luxury, not in this hour, being so close. And it's like I sense this urgency, and I've been talking to other believers, and I don't know if you have too as well, King Kareem. Like there's something stirring in your spirit, like something is about to go down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I just sense that the Spirit of the Lord certainly is saying, get right now. Be ready now. And if you've heard nothing else, hear that word in the name of Jesus. But I would admonish you to go and listen to the replay of this. It will be and is available on YouTube. Glory to God. Powerful word, man of God. And I thank the Lord for your obedience. And I thank you for being unapologetic about your love and passion and fervor and your stand for the things of God in Jesus' name. Man of God, would you share with us, you have any oncoming or upcoming, I should say, conferences? I know you have the Soul Winning Conference. I suspect you have another one coming up soon. And also where people may come and support you and participate in your Zoom prayer watches that you do every night. Glory to God. You are also have a presence on, I believe, Facebook as well as Instagram. Can you release that information now for those that are listening? King Kareem?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Praise God. Did you guys hear me? I was saying, King Kareem,
yeah,
can you?
Yeah,
amen.
So I was saying the easiest way, first and foremost, is my email, which is kareem@eternityandyou.org, O-R-G, kareem@eternityandyou, that's eternityandyou.org. And I'll be able to give you our updates. We have an email, we have a newsletter that's coming out. I'll also be able to get that to you. That's going to have our update, or I should say our events that's coming up. But the conference this week, we're looking for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 p.m. So we might have some different speakers lined up. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10 p.m. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on Facebook or under Eternity and You. That's the ministry. So on my YouTube channel, it's Eternity and You. My Facebook is Eternity and You. The prayer group, like I say, I have to send a link, so I just ask that you actually write at the email, kareem@eternityandyou.org. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to make sure I go real quickly now because I think we're running out of time. That was my cue from the producer. But I thank the Lord again for you being with us on today and you that have joined us. Amen. And our listening audience, we bless the Lord for you. We thank God for you stopping by for another Shabbat Saturday. Truly, this broadcast, amen, has been a blessing to me. And I thank you, man of God, for your taking time out of your schedule and just letting the Lord use you in Jesus' name. Change is certainly taking place now. And those that have heard this word, truly, this word has touched your soul, amen, and changed you. I thank you again, Pastor Kareem. And thank you, our producer, Dr. Robinson, and the Elation Family Radio, amen, iHeart, and Spreaker Radio for this platform. People of God, we bless the Lord for you, and I pray the Lord continue to bless you and use you and be his voice in this hour. Do not bow down to the enemy, but let the Lord use you greatly and let him also enlarge your borders, amen, and your territories in Jesus' name. Thank you again for joining this Shabbat Saturday, Dr. Kareem. I'm about to elevate you, man of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But listen, all of you, please come back next Saturday. And I pray, Dr. Kareem, I must be calling those things that be not as though they are. Hey, glory. Please come back with us. We hope that your schedule permits you to come back and be with us again as we are making the schedule for 2023. I certainly want the platform to be utilized for you and for the voice that God is for the body of Christ, particularly in this end time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Kimmy Kim, woman of God, you know what you need to do, and I pray the Lord bless you as he always has and is and continue to use you, great woman of God. Now, please close us out. Love you, everyone, and shalom.
But thank you, Lord. I can't help but lift my voice. When burdens were heavy, you raised me and gave me strength. I needed to go on. I can't help but praise your name. I can't help but lift my hands. Yeah, when I strayed away, you forgave me. gave me and saved me and gave me another chance. Oh, so many things you've given I did not deserve and didn't earn. You could have just chose to give up on me. Instead, you've always taken care of me. You've held me, you've kept me, you've loved me through good times and bad times. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for me, Lord. Thank you for turning my midnight into day. Ooh, I can't help but give you my all. I can't help but try my best, yes. I know I can lean on you, count on you. I can depend on you. With you, I'm truly blessed. I can't help but love you right. And I can't help but try to do right by you. Lord, you call me your own and you made me belong, all in spite of the wrong I do. Oh, after all of my mistakes, you should have just turned and walked away. You helped me when I felt like giving up. When I slipped and fell down, you picked me up. You constantly show me your love.